What's up, Lady Ballers?
Welcome back. We're Soccer Props.
And it's game time.
What's up, everybody?
Hey.
Welcome back to Soccer Girl Props.
We're here. We're here to talk.
All right, guys. So this week we're talking about leadership, what it means to be the best coachable player possible, what it means to be the best teammate possible. So let's get right into it.
All right. Should we say what not to do?
Well, I mean, let's go over being a coachable player first.
I feel like we get a lot of emails, questions about how do I get my coach to notice me. And, I mean, we're all going to have different takes on all these things. Sometimes I think it's about not trying so hard to get your coach to notice you. I think as soon as you put in so much effort for him to see something specifically, you're distracting yourself from being the best player and teammate that you can possibly be. And you start to do things for the wrong reason. Yes, exactly. Like, if you're doing things just for the purpose of getting noticed, it's going to come across as disingenuous unless you're really good at faking it. But it's probably going to come across as disingenuous and bother some people, which is not always good.
Yeah, and you're not going to, like, don't cheat on the juggling drill, right? Mm-hmm. You always have that person who sucks up, says they got 100, and you're like, you're the worst juggler on the team. But, yeah, I agree. I think just being consistent, like, always coming 100% effort, being positive. Coaches are going to notice the little things without you having to try and, like,
do something elaborate.
I agree.
One thing I'll never forget is I made a team because the coach said that he saw when I lost the ball, I did everything in my power to get it back. And I think it's just important. Like, I didn't think he noticed that. I thought he noticed that I lost the ball. Mm-hmm. But instead, he turned it around and said, wow, that's the mentality we need on the team. So I think, like, you guys should never get down on yourself when you fail on the field. The coach is impressed with how you react to the situation.
That's so true.
I feel like if you just keep showing up and being the player every day that you think you'd want on a team, then that value will eventually become very evident to everyone.
Yeah.
Without you having to try. You just keep showing up and doing your best and being the teammate that you would want to have as your own teammate, mm-hmm. and the player that you would want to have if you were the coach, and then eventually you're going to really establish kind of who you are, and coaches will get it without you having to show.
This is just a little one, but, like, asking questions is always okay. Like, coaches love when you ask questions, but don't just ask questions to ask questions, right? You always have the one person who's like, coach, can I, you know, like, what about this? Are we going to do fitness at the end? And it's like, all right, to an extent, questions are great, but you don't have to try and suck up with your questions, right? What about disagreeing with coaches? How do you guys feel about, like, how do you handle that? Because we have so many players, Lady Bullish, who ask us what to do if they're, like, disagreeing with their coach, whether that's something their coach does, whether it's something their coach says to them. How do you handle it?
Well, from our experience, we've had players who yell back at the coach in front of everyone, and that's probably the number one thing not to do. If your coach yells at you, that's one thing, but I think you should pull them aside after practice and say, this is how I felt when you said this to me, mm-hmm. or this is how I feel about the situation, and come from a point, you know, of having, you know, giving them the opportunity to understand how you feel and why you reacted that way.
And I feel like as we're all growing up, and even, like, when I was 18 and older in college, I was so uncomfortable with communicating that it made me always not be able to explain myself very well. I always felt not feeling understood. So, like, if you're nervous about communicating, don't not communicate because you're scared to. It's like, go if you really don't feel comfortable talking one-on-one to your coach. Maybe you and a teammate go and just have an open discussion
or a captain.
But, like, obviously I wouldn't question a coach in front of the whole team. If you have an issue, that bring that up privately. And discussing one-on-one is always a little bit better anyway than a mess.
I think that's a really common thing is a lot of people are scared to talk to their coach.
I still am horrified to talk to, like, bosses, like people that I feel like are above me. It's uncomfortable.
And they're people too. And chances are you're not the only one on your team who's feeling that way.
Yes.
So if that's something that you do want to talk to your coach or other teammates about, you're probably going to find that it's something that everyone's feeling, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also another thing, like, if you are furious and you're full of so much anger, I suggest that you take a beat and relax, calm down, think about what you want to say to your coach, write down your feelings, run it by a friend, run it by your mom.
Parents are good at that.
They are good.
They have that outside. Most parents.
Yeah.
Like, are like, your coach is wrong too. But
yeah, right. But, like, I think that's so important because when I was younger, I would get angry and lash out at my sister's or my mom
yeah.
and not even realize
take
what I was saying.
Beat.
And
so,
then you take it back from me.
Because you're in the moment. And I
yeah.
remember my junior year during our spring training. You had graduated at this point, but we were doing the BEEP test. We did our spring fitness testing, which I always took very serious.
Me too.
Like, I was always like, I'm going to make sure, like, I'm the best that I can be. I'm going to just crush it. And we did the BEEP test, and they changed the test that we did, and they changed the lines, and they told us that we all failed. And I was so mad because I knew that I had passed. I knew that, like, half of our team had passed, and I was just like, you're wrong. And I got mad at our coach, and he literally, like, told me I couldn't play the next game.
Really?
Like,
oh,
he sat
God.
Me on the bench and said, you're not playing this
because
game. And, like, I knew I was right, but I should have approached the situation and talked to him after practice rather than say it in front of everyone. Or, if everyone felt that way, we could have went in together.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like, speak to your captain or your teammates, and if you guys are genuinely upset, come from a place of that.
Yeah.
Come from that place. Don't
yeah.
come from, like, this is BS.
Because yeah.
I would do the same.
But hey, it
to
totally
me.
Was BS.
Yeah, but I would do the same, though. Like, that would
yeah.
be my first reaction.
Yeah.
But, like, when you really think about it, you have to play the game, guys.
Yeah.
Even if you're really mad and you want to curse on him, play the
yeah.
game.
Yeah.
Well, now, honestly, I don't remember if it was Jim or Sean, our coaches, but one of them, and it might have been just in the beginning when I was playing, had 24-hour rule. And it was, if you want to discuss anything
really?
About the game, it was not being discussed the night of that game.
I could see that being Jim.
Right?
I think Sean used to, like, text us
and,
after
yeah,
the game.
And,
right?
I think it was maybe when we had first started. But, like, it was good because it let you, like, go home with
yeah.
your thoughts. And if you had rage or if you had excitement or if you had whatever, it let you, like, calm the F down and, like, level out and then really think about what you want to talk about. And sometimes something that you were so angry about the night of, you woke up the next morning, you're like, all right, I'm still a little angry, but it's not worth me making a whole confrontation and thing about it, so
mm-hmm.
I can approach it in a much more constructive way. I thought
I really liked
maybe.
That idea.
Yeah,
yeah,
it was
that's
great
really
because,
smart.
And I feel like I remember witnessing a player being like mad and him being like, 24 hours, then
wow.
we'll discuss it, and everyone cools down and no one says anything, they regret
so
or anything, so.
Yeah, that's,
I'm
going
to say that
lot.
To my kids.
Like,
yeah.
Don't tell me for 24 hours.
And
what's,
you're not going to talk to them for 24 hours.
I'm not making you dinner either.
Okay, and then we have a ton of girls who are asking us, what if they really don't get along with the coach enough? Do they switch clubs? Do they switch schools? Because
so,
there are, I
one,
think,
I
think there's degrees of it, because I think a lot of people aren't, I think 90% of players are probably going to get in disagreement or not like their coach
yes.
for an extended period of time. That could be a week, it could be a year. But at what point do you say, okay, maybe I do have to look elsewhere?
So, I don't, and I have such a strong opinion on this, and I'm sure people
that's
are going to differ with me too,
that's
but
good.
I am such a believer that throughout your life, you're going to be forced into scenarios and work settings and classes and study groups where you don't get along with someone. And if your first thought is to run and go find something better or to go find a scenario that's a little bit easier for you, then you're not actually overcoming adversity. You're just
mm-hmm.
running from it and finding an easier solution.
Mm-hmm.
Like people that don't have playing time on a team, they'd rather switch teams than talk
right.
to the coach, figure out what that coach is looking for them to do and try to earn the playing time. What you're allowed to completely disagree with people. I'm so for that as well. But you have to be able to coexist with something you disagree with without wanting to run from it right away. So I think, like, if you're in middle school or high school and you hate your coach and your idea is to change teams, what are you going to do when you're 30 and you hate your boss?
Yeah,
like,
I agree.
Are you going to run from a job that maybe you really need?
You also have
you
to
know?
Realize, like, the grass isn't always greener. Like,
that's
if
true.
You do switch teams, it could be the same case scenario. Maybe it's not
yeah.
the coach. Maybe it's you. Maybe you have to figure out how to better handle those situations
yeah.
with
yeah.
those coaches.
Yeah.
I also think, though, there are going to be times where if there is
yeah,
a coach
true.
Who is extremely, you know, it's an unhealthy situation,
yeah.
then you have to figure that out.
Yes.
But I think those
really
are special circumstances.
Yeah.
Hopefully most of the time it's just, like, you have to suck it up. But
mm-hmm.
if there's a situation where you don't feel safe or you feel uncomfortable. I mean, we had a
yeah,
player who disagreed with our coach so much they just didn't see eye to eye that they had a third party come in. I think it was, like, one of the mediators. Yeah,
yeah,
our school came in. And, like, it did help the situation. Maybe it didn't solve everything, but mediators are great because
totally.
It helps you be able to get your points across and get their points across without you arguing and yelling and not hearing the other person.
Yeah.
So 100%. That's an extreme situation, but, you know.
Yeah.
But it's probably happens more often than we think.
Yeah.
My advice would be, I love the advice you guys are giving, but literally back to the communication. I feel like a lot of people are just misunderstood, and I feel like if you're not trying to communicate, then you didn't try.
Mm-hmm.
You should really try to find an even playing field, and then also, or a common ground, and then also give it time. Like,
mm-hmm.
My mom, like, if I really left things that I hated in my life, I would have never succeeded in anything.
Yeah.
My mom, the fact that my mom kept me in sports and in soccer and all that, like, I didn't like it in the beginning, but, like, I fell in love with it after months of playing. So, like, it's just stick it out and give yourself time. Like, make sure that is something that you do.
Mm-hmm. What do you guys think in terms of going about approaching, not if you feel like you're not getting enough playing time? Because we get that question a lot.
I think
it's
so circumstantial. Like, I think it really just depends on the situation.
Yeah.
I think you can go to them one-on-one and ask them what you have to do to get that playing time, or what are things that you can improve on for the possibility of playing time.
Yeah.
They might still give you a list of things. You might do them, and you're still sitting on the bench.
Yeah.
So, like, it really just depends.
Yeah. But that is a constructive way to go about it. I think a coach has a lot more respect for the player that, instead of coming to them demanding and saying, why aren't I playing more, to say, what can I do to play more? I think
definitely
that question is perceived a lot better.
And they're going to appreciate that. They're going to, like, we had, our coach would give you, like, one-on-one help after practice.
Yeah.
Like, I remember Sean would have, like, a group of a couple people who wanted to get more shots and or more touches.
Mm-hmm.
So I think especially with college and even high school and club, like, if you show them, like, that you're going to put the time and effort in, they're going to see that, like, as a huge, you know, huge positive.
Yeah.
So, all right, well, let's move on to, like, leadership. Like, how, we've had so many girls ask us how to be leaders on their teams. What do you guys think? Is there any tips or things that players can do to be leaders on their teams?
I feel like there are, like, different types of leaders always.
Totally.
And you have, like, the leader who is very vocal and is a good organizer and really sets things out. Oh, you were going to say
it's a good blog idea.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, different types of,
Carly's writing a blog right now.
And then you have the quiet leaders, the ones that maybe don't open their mouth very much, but lead by example and by their work ethic. And without even trying to lead, they have people that are kind of inspired to work a little harder through them. So there are lots of different leaders. So you don't always have to be
The
captain, or the idea of the captain who's like, everyone, come together. I'm going to give this motivational speech. It doesn't always have to come in that form.
Yeah.
I love that. I think that's so true. I can already, like, picture people from our team who, like, weren't the captain, but, like, they did lead by example, and I really, like, saw them as role models.
And it made
models.
You want to
be
better.
And I was like, I want to be that type of player. So
yeah.
I totally agree with that. And let's not, like, let's be real. A lot of captains, like, the leader, like, it goes to their head, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, they think just because they have the band on their arm, like, that they have, like, the authority.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's a lot of situations where girls are like, what do I do if I don't agree with the captain or I don't agree with how they're leading? What do you do in that situation?
Yeah, I mean, talk to them first, and if it doesn't, if you're not, you know, if nothing is improving, I think that's when you can go to your coach and say, tell them what's going on, and make it a thing where it's like you're really not attacking anyone, but you are, it's affecting the team.
Yeah.
So I think that's really important, and you're also a leader by doing that.
Yeah.
By speaking up.
Yeah.
You know, we have to do that.
Speaking of leaders that bother you, what are some don'ts as a leader? Because there are a lot, I'm sure.
From personal experience, in high school, when I was a freshman, my captain was the meanest person, and she bossed everyone around. So instead, she kind of was leading with fear.
Yeah.
You know? And
sometimes that works, though.
Sometimes it does.
And even coaches sometimes.
Yeah, it does. It works with coaches.
So it really depends on the players,
right?
I
agree. But as a group, we were like,
depends
this is
how
not
perceived.
Good.
Yeah.
Yes, like, we weren't responding.
Yeah.
And I didn't like that. And something I would say is, like, I love a leader that is respectful.
Right.
Like, they could be laying down the law in a respectful way.
Definitely.
And that would be my
opinion. I feel like, and that was, like, our freshman year, Froby, I felt like that. She was a little bit of fear, but it was
scared.
More, like, respect. And, yeah, you were
scared.
Scared.
But
you also, she led by example.
I respected her, yeah.
Yeah, she worked super hard. She was always putting the extra time. She would work with the people who needed extra help. So there's, like, that fine balance, I think, of that leader.
Speaking of, don't be a hypocritical leader, because that is
my
least favorite kind. So if you want to be on everyone,
preach
on everyone to, like, be putting in the work outside or to be cleaning up,
or
the
not going
then,
out over the weekend.
Yeah,
let's be real. Yeah, definitely practice what you preach if you're going to be a leader.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. If you want everyone to make sure the field is clean, but you're the first one in your car peeling
rubber
out of the driveway while everyone is cleaning up, it's probably not a good way to lead.
Totally agree.
We're not referring to anything.
Never.
No. Yeah. I think that's a great point. What about teammates that you don't get along with? Because, I mean, we had a situation in our school where there was one person who no one got along with. They spoke to the coach very negatively. Remember, we went to our coach and we said, we don't feel like she's being a good team player, right? And
mm-hmm.
he addressed it, and he was actually, like, happy that we did. But I think there's a fine line of
mm-hmm.
being, like, a tattletale and really, like, being,
yeah.
like, this is in the best interest of the
yes.
team, right?
And look, this is just part of being girls. Girls get bitchy. We're cliquey. We can't help but stay around the ones we feel
mm-hmm.
closest to or the most alike, and certain people feel left out, or you may feel left out, and that's always something that's going to happen. But we also can always just take a deep breath and maybe realize that we're not always, it's not always against us. Sometimes two girls would just go off and do everything together because they happen to be best friends, and it's
mm-hmm.
not because they don't actually like you.
Yeah.
And I feel like just because you don't get along with everyone on the team, you don't need to be BFF
yeah.
of everyone.
No,
but you're going to find your people, and you'll
yeah.
attract the people that are like you.
Yeah.
I feel like, too, like, you guys on a team, you have a common goal to play and to win. So if you guys are respectful on the field, then I think that's, it's okay to be different, and it's okay to not
yeah.
always surround yourself around this person.
Yes.
Well,
you
see, even on the U.S., like, the women's national team, you could tell who's
sure,
friends
who's
on
best
the side.
Friends.
Like,
yeah.
like, and then on the field, they all are respectful, and they all play to
yeah.
win and to have that common goal, right?
Exactly. We're not telling you guys to like everyone. We really get
yeah.
it. It's
just
not...
be respectful
exactly.
to every one of your teammates. And if there is one person who isn't friends with anyone, try and, like, invite them to the
yes.
boss party.
See,
invite them to
person.
Come to
yeah.
It doesn't mean you have to be best friends with them, but just include them and make sure, because
yes.
you're at one point in your life, you're going to feel like the outsider, and it's a shitty feeling, right?
Yeah.
So just embrace that person. If that's a new, if that's a freshman, or if that's someone who switched schools or switched teams or transferred into your
yeah.
college,
take them under your little
take
wing.
Take them under your wing,
yeah.
yeah.
Seriously. It's
have
so
lunch
cool
with them. You don't have to hang
out
with them all day. But
yeah.
Yep.
If you really look at it, the teams that are the most successful, they're not just successful because they're the best soccer players in the world. They're
mm-hmm.
successful because they all have each other's backs
definitely.
When it comes to playing, and they're a cohesive unit with a common goal. And if you're going to go out of your way to not include some teammates and others, you're doing damage to your win and loss record, really, when it comes down to it. Because the teams that are the most cohesive and get along the best, they're going to practice the best together. They're going to ride the bus to the games the best together. They're going to get pumped up in the locker room together the best.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to end up playing together the best. So include everyone, guys.
Yeah.
Love
Come
one
on.
Another.
That was really nice.
Peace
out. But, and then, yeah, for tips for people who are joining your teams, is there anything else besides that? Like, what do you guys think? You're going to be outside your comfort zone, right?
It's, like, it's okay to feel weird.
Yeah.
Like, we all have felt that it sucks. Like, everyone's been new on some team at one point. It doesn't
yeah.
feel great. But,
yeah.
like, don't, just because you feel that, don't be scared. Because
yeah.
you just got it. The beginning of everything sucks. Even the beginning of being a freshman sucks. And then every progressive year
yeah.
gets better just because that new factor is gone. So,
yeah.
my advice, just stick with it.
I also like the idea of, like, when you come onto a team, introduce yourself to everyone and maybe ask them a follow-up question. Where are you from? Like,
mm-hmm.
what do you like to do? Like, just have a conversation
yeah.
and you start to get to know the people faster than you think.
Yeah.
And I think that will make you automatically more comfortable on day one than anything.
Yeah.
So just be nice and be open to meeting other people.
Yeah.
Definitely. And you don't have to, like, be weird and message every 20 of every single person on your team and ask them something super weird, guys. You can do it
like
in
I
person.
Boyfriend.
Or you, yeah, like, I saw your boyfriend's name is Kyle, and he's 6 foot tall. And,
don't come on to
how's
the
he
team.
Doing? But just, like, yeah, I agree. Be outgoing and, like, in person you can ask questions. Or if there's one person you see on social media and you're like,
mm-hmm.
oh, I live near you. If you're ever training in the area or playing pickup, let me know. Like, things like that. You don't have to be creepy, guys.
Yeah.
But be kind and try and, you know, get out of your comfort zone, right?
Yeah. Yes.
All right, guys, so that's it. It was a short one this week, but we just wanted to stay consistent
mm-hmm.
because consistency is key,
it
and we're
going
to keep coming out with new ones. Some topics that we're going to start doing, though, is just, like, the work, like the balance of being a student-athlete. So if you guys have any questions about that, we're going to talk to a couple of professionals, staying involved with soccer post-college, or if that's something you want to do around your career. So any questions, we'll put them on social media, but please rate, subscribe, do everything like that because we want to keep doing this. And that's it for today, right?
Retweet.
And we just love you. That's it.
That's it.
That's it.
Bye. Bye.